This is Brent Musburger, and here is your VSiN Action Update. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
NBA season headed to the halfway point with the All-Star break this weekend. LeBron James is the 2-1 favorite to win MVP. Joel Embiid is plus 350. Nikola Jokic is 7-1. On a numbers game with Gil Alexander, Yahoo Sportsbook's Preston Johnson says he believes that Joel Embiid is the front runner.
I'm supposed to say Joel Embiid because he's the one guy I bet before the season. And the drop off until yesterday, you know, from the Lakers, after Anthony Davis goes out with the injury, and LeBron, you know, I was on with Drew. I think he took over for you for a couple of weeks ago. I think it was only like 2 weeks ago.
Correct.
And I said, you know, I think I still have to give it to LeBron because we all had this assumption coming into the season that LeBron James was going to be load management, short off season. He didn't want the season to start in December. They just won the ring. Like, he's going to do his thing, but he'll make sure he's ready. He's come out and played every single game. And at the time, the Lakers had the best record, I believe, in the West, or they were right with Utah. Now Utah and the Clippers, I think, actually have a better record. And so, he's kind of dropped off. And I think it's Joel Embiid now has kind of taken that spot at number one, just because the Sixers have, for one, been the best team in the East. And number two, the games he hasn't played, I believe they're 1-5 in the games he hasn't played. His impact just from a on-court perspective is ridiculous, and on both sides of the ball, which is why I think Nikola Jokic a step behind both two guys and anyone else that you want to throw in there. Embiid's impact defensively has been fantastic too.
Preston Johnson of Yahoo Sportsbook on a numbers game with Gil Alexander, heard weekdays 10 to noon Eastern on VSiN. On Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Paulie Howard, CBS sports writer and former NFL agent Joel Corey discusses the standoff between the Houston Texans and their quarterback, Deshaun Watson.
Well, both teams seem to be firmly entrenched in their position. So at this point, I'm thinking this thing gets past the draft. He's not traded. And it's very easy, from my experience as an agent, for a player to talk tough in March and April. But come training camp time, when you have to start getting fined what is now $50,000 per day, mm-hmm. and in his case, the fines can't be forgiven, and then potentially if your holdout lasts long enough, they're able to recoup part of the prorated portion of your signing bonus, maximum of 5.4 this year, and then you start missing game checks if this continues, or if it goes to its logical extreme, you miss the whole season and your contract tolls. It's easy to talk tough now before you're actually losing a dollar, so if he's not traded by the draft, this thing is going to get very, very ugly. And one thing I wouldn't discount is the fact that you've got a new GM, and when there's a regime change, the new GM does not, or owner or head coach or whomever the person is, does not want to send a signal to the rest of the team and that you can stick a gun to his head and get what you want. Teams have an irrational need to hold on or preserve precedent, even though you can make distinctions in every different case, but teams typically like to have a blanket rule. So that's something I would not discount as being a motivation for Nick Caseria.
It's March, and that means it's time for the madness. Our VSiN experts are watching the bubble teams, conference tournaments, and looking for future Cinderellas to give you the betting edge heading into the tournament. Now's the time to start your free VSiN trial to get members-only daily email updates, our upcoming bracket betting guide, and 24/7 coverage. Get ready for betting the madness. Sign up for your free trial at vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe. With your action update, I'm Mike Senna.
Get the latest VSIN odds at vsin.com. And remember, cash and tickets is what it's all about.
Before you place your next bet, visit vsin.com for all the latest data and powerful betting tools. Start with our live odds, team comparisons, and previews for every game on the schedule. Then dive deeper with live tracking of betting trends and line movements. And don't miss our unique tools, including odds comparisons from sportsbooks across the country, prop bet search engine, and custom parlay calculator. Everything you need to increase your betting knowledge and confidence is at your fingertips. Visit vsin.com today.
Our VSiN experts live and breathe sports betting, and we've assembled the best team here in Las Vegas and from sportsbooks across the country to help you learn how to become a better handicapper. We go beyond picks and predictions to discuss the numbers and analysis that matter to sports bettors. We are always on for you with TV, radio, and digital coverage. Get everything we have to offer, including our upcoming bracket betting guides for under $50 from now through the College Hoops Finals. Visit vsin.com/subscribe to sign up for this special offer today.
With basketball and hockey games every week, it's time to get into BetMGM Sports Nevada, the premier sports betting app. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. In addition, VSiN is reporting live from the Mandalay Bay every weekend to bring you the analysis of the best matchups. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. You must be 21 years or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Hour number two of the Lombardi Line, Brady Cannon and Michael Lombardi with you on a Wednesday, and we're hoping to be joined by VSiN senior NBA analyst Jonathan Von Tobel to talk a little NBA, and I guess he will be slightly delayed. You know, he has a young boy in the house there, Michael, and I think we both know how that can alter your plans sometimes.
You know, young boy in the house, I know JVT, and it's understandable. The worst is when you have a young dog in your house that constantly barks like I have. So it's either young boy, you know, you can understand the young boy, but the young dog, I mean, I can't get her to shut up. She just can't wait to bark. But let's, you know, that goes without saying. I want to go back to the Harden conversation. Why hasn't that line adjusted? Do you think it's just the perception that Harden forced his way out of Houston that's really moving? I mean, can't we move past that? I mean, you know, I think Houston made out fairly well on that trade. I certainly think Brooklyn got what they wanted, their ability to compete for a title. But, I mean, the guy's carrying the team when two of the three stars aren't even around. I know Joe Harris is a good player, and they've got some elements of their team. They've done a good job drafting. But I just find it hard to believe that his number is so low.
Yeah, no, and it's coming down. I mean, it was, and JVT can probably speak to this better than me, but I know just last week it was 30 or 35 to 1. Now it's down to 25 to 1. I think I saw at one book here, it might have even been lower than that, like 16 or something. So everybody has absolutely taken notice here in the last couple of weeks what this guy's doing. And Michael, to answer your question, as far as kind of the, you know, the bad look of him kind of forcing his way out of town, I don't really think that's affecting the price.
Yeah, I can't imagine it. I mean, but the guy has done nothing but he got in shape. He's playing some defense, and he's leading his team to victories. And, you know, it'll be interesting tonight as he returns to Houston, you know, which, you know, I expect he'll have a hell of a day. That line's already gone from 9 up to 10, 10, 9.5 to 10. It's been teetering around. So, you know, I'd be shocked if they didn't, you know, play really well. If he didn't play really well tonight, 228's the over-under, and that line's just inching up ever so slightly.
Yeah, they've got prop bets, and our producer Stephanie telling me these prop bets have been out ever since the trade was executed. Whenever it was going to be that he returned to Houston, what kind of night he would have there in his return to that building. To record a double-double, it's minus 130, so you got to lay 130 to win 100 there. To record a triple-double, you get 4-1, plus 400 if he can execute a triple-double there. To score 30 or more points, it's even money. Boy, I tell you, you know, sometimes, Michael, I think it's kind of like betting prop bets in the Super Bowl. The general public wants to root for excitement, and they want to root for a storyline to play out. And a lot of the times it doesn't. I mean, is James Harden going to get more than 30 points? I'd almost be willing to bet against it.
Yeah, you know, I it depends. I think is Kyrie playing tonight? We know Durant's not.
Right.
So, you know, again, it's the Rat Pack. Who's all playing tonight? So, you know, I like the 30, knowing Kyrie's not going to play, and I think the 10 assists could come into play too. So those are two that jump out at me. Does he make 5 3-pointers? I could see that. I mean, that, you know, typically I would not go over that number, but, you know, does it have to, is it five or over? Or is it just five? Does he have to make the number?
It's five or more. So if he hits five, you get paid. And it's plus 160. I kind of like that bet too. You know he's going to launch him up there, right?
He's going to launch him. He's going to launch him, man, no doubt. I mean, he's not shy. One thing we know is he's not shy.
Now you could get, is he going to score 50 or more points at 11-1? Is it worth a stab? I mean, you know, it kind of goes to what you're saying. If this storyline does play out and all of a sudden he has some incredible night here back in his old home court, maybe you take a stab with that. I don't know if 11-1 is even high enough on the price.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. 50 to me, you know, we just had the Wilt game, and, you know, I still can't imagine how Wilt scored 100 points in a game. So, you know, it's remarkable.
How about the Houston Rockets, Michael? And I wanted to ask JVT about this. Of course, he analyzes the market. Oh, and John, are you there? Do we have him?
Yeah, what's up?
We got him, yeah.
Oh, there you are. All right, buddy. Good. Well, Michael and I are rambling on here about the Rockets and the Brooklyn Nets, and I wanted to get your opinion. Obviously, you're the expert on this. The Houston Rockets have lost 12 games in a row. Brooklyn has won 9 out of their last 10. Has the market hit rock bottom on the Houston Rockets where there's a point here maybe where they're a buy on? Are we not going to get a higher number on them anytime soon, or they've not hit rock bottom yet?
No, I think they've hit rock bottom. Look, when you lose two games to the Cleveland Cavaliers, right, which was the previous rock bottom, you have hit rock bottom. And statistically, they are rock bottom, right? Over this losing streak that you're talking about, negative 16.8 net rating, the next worst team is the Cavaliers, but the Cavs are 4.7 points better than them at this point right now. If you look at their offensive rating, bottom of the league, 99.7 over those 12 games. Like, imagine that. Over 12 games, not even being able to average 100 points every 100 possessions. So, yeah, this team's at the all-time bottom. And one of the factors that you guys are talking about as well is you have the added influence of James Harden's return to this, you know, to this venue, the anecdote that Harden, I don't know if you want to say he wants to stick it to them or whatever way you want to phrase it, that's baked into this line as well. So I would say absolutely you're getting rock bottom here with the Houston Rockets. And if you do want to test that theory, if you want to take some points with them, you know, you're better off just waiting until we get to a pretty unreasonable point, which we might be getting to right now. You know, we're touching 10 in a lot of places. It might even keep climbing. So I think if you want to test out that theory, if you want to get in on Houston, this is going to be one of those buy low opportunities for you here tonight.
You know, we always talk about JVT when we have you on, or the Bulls when they're dogs. So they travel to New Orleans tonight, and they are dogs, right? They are dogs. The last 10 games, the Bulls are 6-4 over the last 10 games, and they're 5-4-1 against the spread. Meanwhile, you know, our Pelicans team, which I still think should be better than they are, they're 4-6 the last 10, 4-6 against the spread. So, you know, as you look at this game and look over it, is this another good spot to play our Bulls as dogs?
You know, I'm not entirely sure, Michael, because there's a couple of things here, right? One, on the surface, you know, and this is a really good angle for a lot of folks, especially when you're betting the NBA on a day-to-day basis. This is a decent revenge spot here for the New Orleans Pelicans. If you remember, you know, the Pelicans went in to Chicago a couple weeks back. They were taking on the Bulls. They had just come off a beatdown of those Houston Rockets. They had won 4 straight, but the market was kind of hesitant and actually moved in Chicago's direction. They go in as a 2.5-point favorite, and they lose outright, 129-115. So you would assume that that result is going to be fresh in the mind of New Orleans. And the other part, Michael, that kind of changes things a little bit here in my mind when I'm looking at the New Orleans Pelicans is that Stan Van Gundy is kind of starting to get it when it comes to, hey, I might have the best young player in a really long time on my team in Zion Williamson. The numbers in terms of him running pick and rolls have skyrocketed over the last month. The beginning of the year, Zion was running maybe 1.5 pick and rolls per game. And now you're looking at Zion Williamson running about 14-17 in this now time span of the month of February and onward. You look at the Utah Jazz game, where in the first three quarters, he was ball dominant. He had the ball in his hands. He was running stuff left and right. And so I think that kind of changes things, right? That's a factor that is a difference here for the New Orleans Pelicans. So everything being said, look, Chicago in certain spots is definitely worth backing. But from what you've seen from them from a defensive standpoint over the last few games, the fact that they are a little beat up, right, and the fact that Larry Markkanen still is not going to be available here for them today, and the fact that we have a change here with the Pelicans scheme, it makes me a little hesitant to kind of go against New Orleans, at least in this spot here.
John, situationally, we may have a sandwich game, a hoagie, a po' boy, maybe, Michael, you know, a Philly cheesesteak here, where the New Orleans Pelicans come off of that win. What a performance on Monday night, a big win over the Utah Jazz. Now you have the Bulls here kind of in between, and then on Thursday night, tomorrow, they face Miami. Situationally, is it a spot maybe that had leaned you toward Chicago?
If I could understand valuing that, Brady, but I would personally think, right, like if I am a New Orleans Pelican, if I am anybody that is a part of that team, we have dug ourselves in such a hole that you cannot afford to overlook certain teams or situations, right? Like this is a spot where if I'm in the Western Conference or whatever it is and I'm trying to fight for these play-in games, I am a team that is below 500, I need every possible in that I can get. So I would just say that teams, at least in those situations, for the most part, they might find themselves like looking ahead and not really taking matchups seriously. But again, this is a team that beat them a couple of weeks back. This is a team that is desperate for wins to try to rise up in the standings and get their way out of a more favorable play-in situation. So I would tend to think that New Orleans kind of falls out of that realm, you know?
How about the Hawks, right? They fire Lloyd Pierce, right? And they upset the Miami Heat. Now, they're 4-6 over the last 10. They're 15-20 overall. And, you know, they have not been very good again. They're 17-18 against the spread as a team. They host them. They go down. They go up. They play Atlanta. They play Orlando, which we know they've had problems all year, inconsistency going back and forth. Was that the real Atlanta team we saw last night, or do you think they'll revert back to the norm?
You know, I don't know if it's the real team, Michael, but it's definitely a team that is going to be different, right? But Bogdan Bogdanovic comes back. He is a much better defender than really any of the other guys they have on that team besides DeAndre Hunter, Cam Reddish, and he changes things for them. He can space the floor, shoot, handle. And so there was that, like, tangible change with the roster that you saw yesterday, on top of the fact that it's a new coach. So there's a chance that Atlanta is better than the team that we saw through the first, 30-odd games. But I think they're still generally a relatively poor team, right? And so we get a spot like this where I still think defensively they have their flaws, and we have this Orlando team, an Orlando team that has not been performing very well, but will be able to at times exploit the relatively poor defenses put in front of them. Case in point, they lose the last time out against the Dallas Mavericks, but the Mavericks are laying a pretty inflated number. They cover that number, the Orlando Magic. And Dallas defensively, as we know, one of the more poor teams in the league. And sure enough, Orlando offensive rating in that game, 121.6. So if they're dealt a hand in which they can take on a relatively poor defense, Orlando can at least get up to the task where they're able to exploit that. And I think this is another situation where, look, the betting market has this weird infatuation with Atlanta. There's a lot of the times where they kind of overvalue how good this team is. You mentioned the win over Miami the other night, but remember that was the second of a two-game series. They lost the first one where they didn't cover a single number, even though Miami had opened up as a six-point favorite before Jimmy Butler was surprisingly scratched. So I just think overall, this is an Atlanta team that in certain situations, especially on the road, I don't think they are worth being favored. And we have an Orlando team that, while they are 1-3 against the spread in their last four games, in certain instances against poor defenses, which they're getting again tonight, they are able to perform at a high level. And I would think that I would rather be on the side of Orlando tonight than I would be laying points with Atlanta.
Pacers at the Cavaliers, 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern tip. Break up the Cavs, right, John? They went on a 10-game losing skid, and now they've won four in a row. They're trying to make it five in a row. Now they're getting 6.5, even 7 points here at home hosting Indiana, who, by the way, the Pacers have lost four in a row themselves.
Yeah, and Indiana too, Brady. Look, there are teams where I am right on, and there are teams that I'm wrong on. It's part of every single handicapping deal. And about, I think it was like the third week of the season, I wrote a glowing piece in Point Spread Weekly about the fact that the Indiana Pacers were a team to look out for. They were in the midst of a West Coast trip. They had won 3 out of 4. They had been performing very well. As an underdog at that point when I wrote about them, they were 4-1 straight up. Like, they were absolutely great. And then since then, they've been one of the most mediocre teams in the NBA. And this is something that I've come around on, that I just was wrong on Indiana. Look, you mentioned the four games that they have lost and failed to cover. A big part of this has been an offense that has just been non-existent, guys. Like, right now, they're 20th in offensive efficiency. They can't really put anything together on that end of the floor. They're relatively poor in half-court situations. Their defense is average, but their offense holds them back so much. And in instances where the market overvalues them, like, I don't want to be laying points with them against many teams, really. And even in a situation like this where the Cavaliers are playing much better basketball, they seem to be improving at this point of the season, it seems like a pretty big number for Indiana.
You touching the Utah-Philly game tonight, JVT? You going to go down that trap? You going to buy Philly and take the points? What are you doing?
Yeah, you know, I think I'm gonna grab some points, Michael. You know, I actually was on with Tim Murray, the guys, last night, and we were discussing this. And Utah initially seemed like the side, but I was hoping that the number would get bought down. I thought Philadelphia would probably I was hoping that Philly would eventually close like one and a half point favorite, and I get a small plus price on Utah. But this number is continuing to climb, and I think this is just a little much. Look, Utah's a solid team. And, yes, they're coming off of the loss against New Orleans. But this is still one of the better defensive teams in the NBA, in the Philadelphia 76ers. This is a team that statistically can do some things well that would exploit some of the things that Utah does. Utah loves to give up mid-range shots. Philadelphia loves to take mid-range shots. They're good along the perimeter defensively, Philadelphia. I just think this is a case where, again, we'll talk about Utah buying at the top of the market, selling at the top of the market. This seems like a pretty strong price for Utah on the road against Philly. So I am going to sit back and see if I can get four and take a shot with your boys tonight.
John, just about 30 seconds here. Michael and I were talking MVP, and I know you're leading the campaign trail there for James Harden to win MVP. Michael and I kind of agree with you. It's a good number, now down to 25-1. What about Donovan Mitchell? We're seeing him at 66-1 and Devin Booker at 200-1. Am I missing something with these guys?
Well, Devin Booker, I would say, probably I would not have any part of that because he's got Chris Paul there. But, yeah, Donovan Mitchell has got a chance, but I think it's apt, you know. The Utah Jazz is more of a collective than anything else, Brady.
All right. Fair enough. That makes sense.
Thanks, JVT. Awesome.
Have a good day, my friend. We'll talk some NBA with him down the road. Always appreciate his insights here on the Lombardi Line. Next, it's Make Some Sense. Michael and I return on the Lombardi Line. Be back in a minute. Less is more. Indeed's Instant Match instantly searches its database of millions of resumes, delivering candidates who best fit your job description. More at Indeed.com/credit. More of the Lombardi Line coming up. Make it make sense. Try and make some dollars here. I love the new animation there. See if we can turn the pretty graphics into some money, Michael.
We're going to talk a little golf, Brady.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you have that little birdie that whispers in your ear with a few picks every week.
He's been on a roll. I want to give them all out because he's been on a roll. He's reminding me he's been on a roll, too. Charlie Hoffman in the Bay Hill.
Okay.
Okay. He likes S-M-I-M. Okay.
Sanjay M.
He likes L List.
Luke List.
List. He loves List. He likes Rory McIlroy and Kay Mitchell and B. Todd. Those are his five.
Okay. So
six, excuse me.
Brandon Todd, Keith Mitchell. Keith Mitchell was a surprise winner a couple seasons ago, won the Honda Classic as like a 200-1 shot. And Wes Reynolds nailed him. That was huge. Rory McIlroy, of course, is the favorite and has won here before, has tremendous history at this course. You can't argue with that play at all. Luke List has had great success here. Sungjae Im has finished third 2 years in a row. There's no argument there. And then who was the first guy you said?
Charlie Hoffman. Uncle Charlie.
UNLV Running Rebel. Part of the national championship team, I believe. I am going to I took, as far as the short shot, I went with the defending champion, Tyrrell Hatton. His stats just jump off the page at me here. And I actually, Wes and I hit him at 60-1 last year. That was a real nice hit. I'm going back to the well with Hatton. This guy's the sixth-ranked player in the world now, Michael. Really, really incredible.
I would have failed that guess. I wouldn't have got that guess in 60.
Well, don't bet him for the Masters. For some reason, he struggles at Augusta, but, boy, can he play everywhere else. Louis Oosthuizen, who's very good at Augusta, I bet him here at Bay Hill. He's been on a really nice run, finished 29. 29th at Torrey Pines, 11th at Phoenix, and then 6th last week at the Concession. So he's on a nice progressive trend. Cameron Davis, the Australian, I took him at 75-1. Lanto Griffin at 90-1. Emiliano Grillo at 125-1. And this was a consensus choice among the long shots panel. Humans, Wes, and myself are all on Jason Kokrak at 50-1.
Nice. I like it. You know, I mean, every week I get these tips. So, you know, hopefully one of them come through for somebody who likes to bet the golf game.
It's cool betting golf because, you know, you kind of get a four-day piece of action, right? It's not like just betting a football game or whatever. It's you're involved for 4 days.
As you look ahead to the Masters, as we get ready, because once we turn into March, we get to hear the music, we get to see the course. And, you know, it was fun to watch in November, although it didn't look the same without the fans there. And obviously we won't have fans there this year, at least to the level that we're used to seeing on Augusta. But as right now, Brady, as you could play someone to win the Masters today, who are you looking at?
Well, I tell you, I already have some plays. And the first play I made was Justin Thomas. He's in a little bit of a funk right now. He's been down for a couple weeks, and that has bumped up his price. You can get him closer to 20-1 now. I got him at a little better than 15-1. But I believe this guy has played 5 Masters in his career, and every year he's gotten better. And last year in November, he finished 4th. So the next step is basically 1st. I think he could get there. Patrick Cantlay, I played at 30-1. Oosthuizen at 75-1. Matthew Fitzpatrick, who's been really hot lately, I got him at 100. Francesco Molinari, who you remember, Michael, the year Tiger won it, Molinari was leading thing. Remember that? And he fell apart on the 15th hole, right? Exactly.
Yeah, I know.
Well, his form is really starting to return. I bet him at 125-1, and then I took Kokrak as well. I got him at 170. You can find him as high as 200-1. But I may add Brooks Koepka, Michael. That guy is, he's Brooks Koepka, right?
Why doesn't he win there? It's right. It's like it's the perfect course for him, wouldn't you think? I mean, it's so
ideal.
Well,
he was right there, finished second to Tiger, you know, when we talked about Molinari. He was right there.
Yeah.
He's a short price right now.
I just think to me his game is suited for Augusta.
Anybody that you think
he's got?
Anybody that you think is your guy? You got at the top of your list right now?
I got to get my guy. I got to get my son Matthew on this one. I sent him on this project too.
We got about 36 days. Can you believe it?
I can't wait. It's for the best. I mean, everybody loves the NCAA tournament. I love that too. But there's nothing like sitting on your butt and letting Jim Nance talk us through the Augusta. It's perfect.
I hear you. We are not that far away. 36 days until they roll down Magnolia Lane. When we come back, we'll talk with Steve Mackinnon. He's the editor of Point Spread Weekly. That just hit the shelves here in your inbox. The Lombardi Line rolls on right here on VSiN. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, we're on top of all the sports on today's schedule, as well as the future impacts of NFL trades, free agency, and draft choices to help you become a sharper better for every game on the board. We're not just about picks and predictions. We'll give you the analysis and the insights you need to become a smarter better on every sport. We have the best handicappers in the business giving you the tools you need to create your own betting edge. And right now, for only $50, you can put our experts to work for you all the way through the College Hoops Finals. You get everything we offer, including our members-only daily bet. Best bet emails, Point Spread weekly guides with up-to-date power rankings, the upcoming bracket betting guide, and of course, all access to vsin.com. Sign up today. Get everything we offer through the end of the College Hoops Tournament. It's only $50. Go to vsin.com/subscribe. Welcome back to the Lombardi Line. Brady Cannon and Michael Lombardi with you. Joined by the man behind the Point Spread Weekly publication. That is our editor of Point Spread Weekly, Steve Mackinnon. Steve, how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing great. The sun's out. It's warming up here in Wisconsin, and Things are looking bright.
Well, I was going to ask you if you're making your way. You know, we're headed towards 70 degrees and I think maybe even touching the 80s here next week. And I believe it was a couple years ago that you were out here in Las Vegas this week because we've got a NASCAR race coming up here at the Las Vegas Motor Speedway, the Pennzoil 400. Of course, you did your simulation there in Point Spread Weekly, but I take it you're not coming to town.
Yeah, unfortunately, the circumstances still don't really favors people coming out and watching races nowadays, so hopefully it turns around soon, but I'll be out there soon enough.
Well, tell me about the race. What did your system spit out?
Well, this is a little bit different of a race than what we've seen so far. One of the things I'm kind of picking up here in NASCAR is what we're seeing is sort of a product of the limited practices and the qualifying. We're not able to get a feel for these drivers going into a race, so we're having to rely completely on historical stats. However, if they change something in the off season, maybe they did some testing, maybe they ran their car through their simulations to make some improvements. It's been a trying handicapping start for me, and what I find most interesting is the best race I had so far was at Daytona, the Daytona 500, is when there was practice and qualifying. But that said, there's been five drivers that have typically done very well here at Las Vegas Motor Speedway: Kevin Harvick, Chase Elliott, Joey Logano, Denny Hamlin, and Ryan Blaney. Of those, I would say Ryan Blaney's kind of struggling to start the season, but I would think any one of the other four drivers has a good shot to win on Sunday.
And what racing team? I mean, it looks like, is it the Penske team that you feel like is the best set for this, or the Gibbs racing team? Which racing team do you feel most comfortable with in this race?
Well, Penske's historically been pretty strong here. Like I said, Blaney is on that team. You got Logano, and Brad Keselowski also fares pretty well. So Penske typically does well at this track, but like we pointed out last week, Michael, when you mentioned Joe Gibbs' team doing very well at Homestead, and especially on my simulation, it turns out Hendrick had a big week. So we'll see what happens.
Steve, you wrote about in Point Spread Weekly last week, and we talked about on the show, college basketball teams and kind of the stability, and you mentioned all these teams that had the same head coach. I believe it was like a 14-year run where you'd seen a lot of success in that study in the last 2 weeks of the season. Now this week, you fast forward to the conference tournaments, which are, of course, coming up here pretty quickly. Tell us about the findings in the conference tournaments that you came up with.
Yeah, so I put a piece together here. Well, it's actually going to be a two-piece series here. This week's covers the conference tournaments that are starting now and going through next Tuesday. And then next week's piece will cover all the big tournaments starting next week. But I basically found a, if you want to call it a betting system, that has been very favorable in every conference tournament. For instance, let's go to the Missouri Valley Conference. I don't think it's... I think it is common knowledge that these are typically lower scoring games at the Missouri Valley, particularly the games that have maybe a little bit higher totals for that tournament. And interestingly enough, a higher total in the Missouri Valley Conference is 131.5. Games with that are 22-9 under run. So keep that in mind as you watch the action in St. Louis. MVC typically very low scoring.
I love reading about the conferences. Steve, as you overlook these conferences, if you were, say, to the guy sitting at home who wants to try to gain an edge somewhere in the marketplace, what conference would you look to? Would it be the Horizon? Is there somewhere where you feel like the handicapping isn't quite as sharp as, say, in the Southeast Conference or the Big Ten?
Well, I don't know if it's the handicapping not quite as sharp as much as it might be a motivational thing. So like, for instance, the Atlantic 10, rounds two through the semifinals have been favorite dominated. Now, why, you'd ask, why might that be? Perhaps it's because these teams need to prove a point. A lot of the times these teams are on the bubble, these favorites going into the, in the Atlantic 10 tournament. They're needing to come up with big performances to boost their resumes. So it's not a surprise that an Atlantic 10 favorite would do well. But on the other hand, you get a team like maybe Gonzaga or the West Coast Conference, where early round games favor underdogs, late round games favor the favorites, because there's such a separation from top to bottom. So those are some things I tend to look for when I'm handicapping these tournaments, maybe some intricacies like that.
Steve, you're right there close to the Big Ten territory, and you mentioned maybe some advantages you can find in conferences where there's a real separation between the haves and the have-nots. Not really the case in the Big Ten. That conference is pretty deep. What would be a strategy that you write about in that conference?
Well, that one's going to come next week, Brady, but I'm going to tell you, I won't be surprised to see maybe some more underdog type of things, particularly when you get those games in the maybe the 0 to 6 point line type of situation.
And how about what Illinois did to Michigan on Tuesday night? Were you surprised by that?
I think anybody who watched that game was surprised. However, I watched that whole game of Wisconsin and Illinois on this weekend, and Illinois, even without DeSumo, is very tough. They got a deep roster, and they got size and athleticism.
All right, Steve, before we let you go, of course, you're familiar with the prop they have here at the South Point. Villanova, Gonzaga, and Baylor. You can have those three, or you can have everybody else. Which way are you going?
I found the prop very interesting in the fact that why is Villanova the team in there? That's interesting to me.
Yeah.
At this point, the only team I'm supremely confident in is Gonzaga. I think I think you got Michigan, you got Illinois, you got Iowa, Houston. All these teams are very capable of upsetting. I'd probably go with the field right now, but Gonzaga scares me a bit.
All right, Steve, thank you very much. We'll talk to you again down the road.
Thank you, guys. Have a great show.
All right, that is Steve Mackinnon, the editor of Point Spread Weekly. It has hit your inbox. Check it out. An incredible amount of information week in and week out. We wrap it up with Kenny White next, talking college basketball right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Settle in for the game until you've placed your one-game parlay at BetMGM, the king of sports books. Make your parlay selections within a single game from over 400 bet types. Log into your BetMGM account and place a one-game parlay on NBA basketball and soccer, with more sports coming soon. New to BetMGM? Sign up and turn game day into payday with a one-game parlay. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Colorado, Indiana, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia only. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada, and Virginia. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa, in Tennessee. 800-889-9789 and 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Welcome back to the Lombardi Line. Brady Cannon and Michael Lombardi with you, and it's time to bring in our man Kenny White. And Kenny, great to have you on the program again. Always a strong finish to the Wednesday edition of the Lombardi Line. And Michael and I were talking a little college basketball at the top of the program, and Michael is talking about betting some of these obscure games, you know, Texas, Wichita of Southern Lake by the whatever. And Kenny, you did. Yeah. I said, Kenny,
the ones,
I said
the ones, Kenny
will come
the,
with it.
Kenny, the ones with six digits. The one with six digits. I immediately go to the six-digit games.
IPFW, Fort Wayne. And I tell you what, you did not disappoint. Wagner and Merrimack makes your list today, Mr. White.
I love it.
Yes, sure does. Michael and Brady, thanks for having me. This is a fun time of year because these games mean a lot. And the Southland Conference, another conference today that there's some meaning in, but the Northeast Conference features Wagner. And this Wagner team just beat Merrimack yesterday. And it was talk in the program. If we win four games in a row, we're going to the NCAA tournament. They need to beat Merrimack twice at home. They're the far better team. They took care of business yesterday, 74-67. The key to why they need to win today, if they win today, they clinch first place in the conference, giving them a triple bye all the way to the semifinals. That's why they knew there's a possibility if they lose, they could actually fall to number three. So big game today for for Wagner. They must win. Doesn't mean they're going to win, but they're the better team. They're playing at home. They won by 7 yesterday. I think the score will be again. You know, it's not a huge edge when you're laying 4 and they won by 7, but I think they win between 7 and 10 today.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny, Kenny, when you look at this game, a lot of money's coming in on Wagner, and the line is moving towards Merrimack. I mean, the line opened at 5, and now it's down to 4. So to me, it seems like that's the perfect time to play Wagner, is it's getting a number that you're more comfortable with, and certainly after they won by 7 the other day.
I'm going to guess, Michael, that, you know, it's been so successful because of these back-to-backs this year. We're not used to this, that these back-to-backs, the team that lost the first one has gotten the revenge in the second game more often than not. So everybody I've been talking to, that's the system they've been playing all year. Just if it's back-to-back, they don't even play the first game. They wait to see who wins, and then they bet the second game blindly. I don't think you could do that here in this situation because Wagner needs the game.
Similar to doubleheaders in baseball, taking the team that lost the first game to win the second game and split that double dip. Kenny, a little bit more on the forefront here. Wichita State laying 4 points at Tulane. And Wichita State, they're in the thick of the conference race there as well, the Shockers.
Yeah, number one right now. So they have the loss advantage over both Houston and Memphis right now. So top five teams in this conference get a bye. So, you know, it's for bragging rights. And their coach Isaac Brown, he signed a new contract. The players are extremely happy. They wanted him to get the job. They've been playing hard for this guy. They've been a strong road team, 6-3 ATS this year. I think they're the far better team. Tulane has nothing to play for in this game. So Wichita playing for first place. Laying 4 here for me.
How about Connecticut? You know, they're going to host Seton Hall's going to host them today. Seton Hall's coming off a 2-game losing streak to Georgetown and Butler. Butler with a great win against Villanova the other night. Ken Pom Essence is a 1-point game. Which side are you leaning on? Are you going with Connecticut and giving the points?
Yeah, I like Connecticut a lot, Michael. James Bocknight has been back 4 games now. This is a first-round NBA draft pick in the next draft. And he's a complete game changer. They're 3-1 ATS in those 4 games since he's been back, but the team's been playing better than that. And you got to give credit to Dan Hurley. Dan Hurley is teaching defense. He's preaching defense. Connecticut plays it. They're 12-6 ATS their last 18 games. So the team's playing well. They've got a revenge factor built in. They lost earlier this year, 80-71 at home to Seton Hall. And you know what, Kevin Ward's team, you just mentioned the back-to-back losses. Those are the 2 worst losses they've had this year. Georgetown and Butler are the 2 lowest ranked teams they've lost this year. I just don't think they're playing well. Connecticut playing at a far better pace. And again, James Bocknight is the best player on the court in this game.
Yeah, not good timing for those losses for Seton Hall, who is possibly finding their way onto the wrong side of the bubble. Kenny, Michael and I were talking about this game earlier, and the number seems a little fishy. It actually looks short on UConn. Do your numbers come out to, or what do your numbers come to versus the 1.5-point spread that they're laying here?
I have Connecticut rated 21, which is 21 points better than the average team. My average team is 0, so Seton Hall, I have a 17.5. I have a 3.5-point edge, and then I give 2.5 points for home court. So 2.5 points for revenge factor. I'm sorry. So the 3.5-point edge in power rating, 2.5 for the revenge. I got -6. I did give 2 points to Seton Hall for their home court. So I made Connecticut 4 in the game. Connecticut's right now is number 3 in the conference. Seton Hall is number 4. Top 5 teams get a bye. So I think bragging rights are the only thing at stake here. And Seton Hall's not playing well. They did lose those 2 games. They've lost 4 straight by the spread, and they're 2-6 ATS in their last 8. So one team's going up, the other team's going down, and I'll take that revenge factor all day. So it's not a huge edge, but I think the line should be 4 in this game instead of 1.5.
How about, you know, one going up, one going down? How about a team that hasn't played since January 30th? My man Buzz Williams, one of my favorite people of all time. His poor team has been devastated with COVID. They beat Kansas State on January 30th, 68-61, you know, in Little Manhattan there, and they haven't played since. Now tonight, they finally come back to the court and they play Mississippi State. They have 2 games, Mississippi State and Arkansas, to finish their season, if you can call this a season. So where are you on this game? I don't even know how you handicap this game.
Yeah, Michael, when I saw this, I thought, wow, I'm going to have a great play on Mississippi State. I'm going to load up tomorrow because the factor of being off 31 days. But Mississippi State has revenge. They lost by one, 56-55 at home earlier this year to A&M. So I thought this is going to be a great game. I made my numbers, added in the revenge factor, the off 31 days, and I make Mississippi State 8. The line's 5.5, so I made a small play, only a small edge. But then I started working on the total. Both these teams are very slow, methodical teams with excellent defenses and offense. A&M is below average offensively, and they've been off 31 days. I expect them to be a step slow, and they're up against this Mississippi State defense. They're going to struggle to score, but they're at home, and I think their defense will be there in this game. So I went under the total. This is one of my bigger plays of the day. I only made this total 112. It was 123.5 last night. And I went under that, and I went under 126 today. So I think this is going to be a chugger of a game, and I hope A&M, being off this long, they can play a little defense. But what I've been heard talking to college coaches, teams have been off this long, it's taken them 3 games to get their legs back. So I just hope they can play a little defense tonight.
Yeah, yep. We've kind of seen that for Baylor.
I think that's true, Kenny. I think that's so true. I don't think you can simulate it in practice. I don't think you can get your conditioning to the level it needs to be. And I think the last 10 minutes of these games, you know, is when your legs start to get really wobbly and you can't come back and you can't compete for the loose balls. You can't, you know, have that second step of a jump to get a rebound. I think it's a really tough spot for Buzz and his team. I think it's going to be really challenging.
Kenny, we would be remiss if we didn't maybe mention the biggest game on the card tonight being Creighton and Villanova. And you mentioned revenge in your handicap of a couple games going on later this evening. This will be revenge for Villanova, and they've seen the money, Kenny. Opened up as a 3-point favorite here against the Blue Jays and now up to 5. Do you have an opinion on this one?
I made Villanova 6.5, so it was a small lean to that. I didn't lay the 4. I didn't get it. It's number 1 versus number 2. Yeah, revenge factor, but it's also a game for first place. So Creighton's going to bring their game tonight. Top 5 in the conference get a bye. So they both get the bye already. But the winner, I believe the winner wins the conference, especially since Creighton would have been beaten Villanova twice. So big game. I'm going to pass. I do lean a little bit to the under, but it scares me because they're such good teams. But the game means so much for first place. That helped me get me on the under.
Kenny, the easiest play of the day. Go ahead. Go ahead, Michael.
No, I just was going to ask Kenny, do you think there's anybody that can beat Gonzaga in this thing? Or do you think that the fact that they really haven't played a really hard schedule is going to affect them come playoff time, come tournament time?
I think it will just a little bit. They are the best team in the country. They're deep. But, Baylor is really good. And again, Baylor was off, remember. They had that COVID situation, and coaches are saying it takes 3 games to get your legs underneath you. Baylor is right there with the Zags. They'll make a turnaround. And Michigan is right there as well. I think those 3 are about 3 points better than the rest of the field right now. But it's going to be interesting because NCAA said, you get COVID, you're done. You're out. We're not waiting for you. So futures this year are a little bit risky, I think, to wager on.
Kenny, I was just going to say that the easiest pick you have on your list here is Penn State because they're taking on Minnesota. Minnesota doesn't win on the road, right?
Yeah, they don't win on the road, and they don't win without Gabe Kalischer. Kalischer's their best defensive player. He's their glue guy. He keeps the team together. He's been out. They haven't been able to win or cover at home without him. And they're also without Leon Robbins, their 7-foot rim protector. So you're without your best defensive player and your second best defensive player, and you're 1-9 ATS on the road. This game means a little bit to both teams because the top 10 teams get a bye. Number 11 and number 12 right now, Minnesota and Penn State. So Minnesota will play hard, but I think Penn State wins and covers.
All right, my friend. Great to chat with you again. Enjoy
Thank
the college
you, Kenny,
hoops
so
this
much.
Evening, Kenny.
Thanks, Michael. Thanks, Brady. Have a great weekend.
That's going to do it for us. Thank you, Michael. Have a good one, my friend. Next up, it's
Thanks,
Mike
Brady.
Palm and
Appreciate
Amal Shah. You bet, buddy. The Nuts right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.